So good for each one to be here this evening. I appreciate it so very, very much. I want to talk a little while about everything starts with God. In Colossians 1 verse 16, it says, For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. That's the first thing, folks, we need to keep in mind. You know, it's not about you. The purpose of our life is far greater than our own personal fulfillment. I know we're sold this all the time, but there's something certainly to this, but our peace of mind or even our happiness is not the most important thing. It's far greater than our family, it's your career, or even our wildest dreams and ambitions. Now, if you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. That's the only way you can do it. You must begin with God. You were born by his purpose and for his purpose, by his purpose and for his purpose. And the search for the purpose of life has puzzled people for thousands upon thousands of years, that because we typically began at the wrong starting point ourselves. That's why we're so confused many times of why this and why that. You know, we asked a self-centered question like, what do I want to be? What should I do with my life? What are my goals? What are my ambitions? My dreams for my future? And by focusing, folks, upon ourselves, I would say exclusively, we'll never reveal our life's purpose. The Bible says it is God who directs the lives of his creatures. Everyone's life is in his power, as we read in Job, the 12th chapter, verse 10. Now, you know, contrary to what many popular books and movies and seminars tell you, you will not discover your life's meaning by looking within yourself. You've probably tried that already in your life. I know that I have, and I'm more confused than ever. You know, you didn't create yourself. That's the first thing we have to understand. We did not create ourselves, so there's no way that you can tell yourself what you were created for. If I handed you an invention you had never seen before, you wouldn't know its purpose. And the invention itself wouldn't be able to tell you either. Only the creator or the owner's manual could reveal its real and true purpose. Rick Warren, to make the point, said one time, I once got lost in the mountains when I stopped to ask for directions to the campsite. I was told you can't get there from here. You must start from the other side of the mountain. And in the same way, you cannot arrive at your life's purpose by starting with a focus on yourself. I know this is the me generation, so to speak. We're always interested most of the time in ourselves. I suppose in this day and time, the people are more selfish than possibly ever before. You must begin with God, your creator. You exist only because God wills that you exist. Only you were made by God and for God. And I want to repeat that. You were made by God and for God. And until we get this into our minds, we're going to run into all kinds of different troubles. And until we understand that life will never make sense, it's only in God that we discover our origin, our identity, our meaning, our purpose, our significance, and our destiny. You can't know it any other way. Every other path leads to a dead end. Many people try to use God for their own self-actualization, but that is a reversal of nature and is doomed to failure. You and I were for God, not vice versa. And life is about telling God to use you for his purposes, not yours or mine, using him for your own purposes. You know, so many times we take it upon ourselves, it's just a very selfish attitude that one has. They want the best out of life, and in one sense of the word, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But we're looking at priorities, you know. Dan was teaching about graven, do not worship any graven images. Well, anything that comes before God can be a graven image, even symbolically. It doesn't have to be something that man has made with his hands. That, to me, is about as silly a thing as anybody could do. Get out here with a bunch of concrete and make a statue and then bow down and think it has more power than you do. How ridiculous can you be? And you know, every other path leads to a dead end, as I say. And the Bible says obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a free life. I get to thinking about Solomon the long ago. You know, everybody said, well, he's the wisest man who ever lived. And as far as the things of this world are concerned, the material things and the things that he accomplished were really tremendous. We're not denying that. But, you know, after all of these years and all that he had, it's not one thing that that man could not have if he wanted it. He had power, he had prestige, he had wealth, he had all the best food, he built different things, he had all the women that he could ever use and things of this nature. And then after he came close to the end of life's way, he realized that all was vexation and vanity of spirit. And he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of the whole of man. He finally, as we say, got it, as we say in the common vernacular of the day. The Bible says obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. I've read books, folks, that suggest ways to discover the purpose of my life. All of them could be classified as, we might say, self-help books. And we're not knocking or condemning any of these things per se. I'm simply saying, what is the most important? What is the greatest priority? And God comes first in all things. Without him, we are absolutely nothing. In him, we live and move and have our very being. Because they approach the subject from a self-centered view, they point self-help books, even Christian ones, usually offer the same predictable steps to finding your life's purpose, such as, well, consider your dreams, clarify your values, set some goals, figure out what you're good at, aim high, go for it, be disciplined, believe you can achieve your goals, involve others, don't give up, persevere, keep on keeping on. A winner never quits and a quitter never wins. However, we must put God in the picture. This is the most important thing. There's nothing wrong with these things that I've just mentioned, as I say, but we have to put God in the picture. You know, the Bible talks about what is your life? It is even vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. That we should always put God in the picture. So many people have made up their mind they're going to do this, that, and the other, and they do not realize that maybe their life will be taken that very night. Of course, those recommendations often lead to great success according to the world. You can usually succeed in reaching a goal if you put your mind to it. And there's a great difference between success of the world, or what the world thinks success is, as opposed to what God knows and believes success is. You see, but being successful and fulfilling your life's purpose are not all the same issue. You could reach all of your personal goals becoming a raving success by the world's standards and still miss the purposes for which the Creator, God, created you. We need more than self-help advice, folks. The Bible says in Matthew 16, verse 25, self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way. My way to finding yourself, your true self. The Bible is not a self-help book. Am I knocking the Bible? Of course not. It is not about finding the right career. It's not about achieving your dreams or planning your life. It is not about how to cram more activities into an overloaded schedule. Actually, it will teach you to do less in life by focusing on what matters the very most. We talk about priorities. We have to look at values. How many times we spin our wheels, so to speak, in the common vernacular of the day, and do things that are not very important at all. And here we spend our time doing these things and wasted it. I don't know how many of us ever think about it, but you know, we only have so many hours and days and years on this earth. And I'm talking about on this earth. I'm not talking about eternity now. That's forever and ever. But look how many minutes that we waste each and every day of our lives and produce absolutely nothing. Produce nothing. You know, how then do you discover the purpose that you were created for? You have only two options. Only two. Your first option is speculation. This is what most people choose. They conjecture, they guess, they theorize. When people say, I've always thought life is, and they mean this is the best guess I can come up with. Fortunately, there is an alternative to speculation about the meaning and the purpose of life. It's revelation. We can turn to what God has revealed about life in His Word. And the easiest way, folks, to discover the purpose of an invention is to ask the Creator of it. The Creator of it. You know, we talk about these people are always arguing about evolution, and we came from the ape, or we came originally from the one-celled amoeba in the ocean. And I go through all this research and what have you, and say, well, we came from this, that, and the other. And I ask five words: where did that come from? You know, they say, well, the amoeba was found in the ocean. Well, where did that come from? Well, it came out from outer space. Well, where did that come from? Where did that come from? You see what I'm talking about here? It is our owner's manual explaining why we are alive. I'm talking about the Bible now. How life works, what to avoid, and what to expect in the future. It explains what no self-help philosophy book could ever know. If we would just realize, and look how people are downgrading the Bible in our society today. Hardly ever used, you know. Next president the other day said, well, are we ever going to have, he was asked, are we ever going to have a homosexual president of the United States of America? And he said, well, the way the culture is now, I believe that in the future we will. I don't know how that man could even make that kind of a statement, because he was supposed to be a very religious man. Go to Romans. The Bible is replete, is full of the sin of homosexuality and lesbianism, all not only in the old but also in the new. And how somebody could come up with that and say, well, it's perfectly all right because society will demand it someday. You know, the Bible says God's wisdom goes deep into the interior of His purposes. It's not the latest message, but more like the oldest, what God determines as the way to bring out His best in us. His best in us. God is not just the starting point of our life. He is the source of all of our life. Without Him, as I've said over and over again, without Him we are absolutely nothing. And to discover your purpose and mine, we must turn to God's Word, not the world's wisdom. You know, I got to think the other day, the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. And the world by wisdom knew not God, and it took the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, if you just take that literally and pass over, you say, well, that's telling me that preaching is foolishness. No, you need to read that again. The wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. The world by wisdom knew not God, and it took the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed. Do you want to be foolish to be saved? I'm willing to be foolish to be saved, if that's what it is. See, they missed the whole point. They missed the whole point. You know, to discover your purpose and mine, we must turn to God's Word, not the world's wisdom. We must build our lives on eternal truths, not pop psychology or success motivation or inspirational stories. The Bible says in Ephesians 1, verse 11, you know what it says? It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us for glorious living. We have to try to understand, and it's very hard for the finite human mind to understand, the idea that God is omniscient, which means that He can know everything. What happened in the past was happening right this very moment in this place, in this building tonight, and what's going to happen in the future. Now, I'm not saying that he causes it. He knows when we're going to die. He knows where we're going to die. He knows what's going to cause us to die. But he doesn't direct it. He doesn't say, well, now, in 6 months, I want Bernie to have a head-on collision and be killed in an automobile accident. God doesn't do that. But he knows these things ahead of time. He had designs on us for glorious living. And part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. This verse gives us three insights into our purpose then. You know what I'm talking about here? You discover our identity and purpose through a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing that in this world that we can ever do. Let the Bible tell us how. God created us in the image and likeness spiritually. We are of dual nature. We are physical, we are material, we are carnal, plus and conjunction, we became a living soul. You say, what's the difference between an animal and a human being? Well, you know, when God created the heavens and the earth, as his crowning glory, decided to make man. So a conversation took place, and I believe that conversation was from God the Father to Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, and the Holy Spirit. When he said, let us, plural, make man in our plural image and after our likeness. Another plural there. And so he formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And, conjunction, he became a living soul. People said, well, you're just like an animal. Animals breathe, animals die. Yes, but look to the end there. And he became a living soul. We were created in his image and after his likeness. And many times people throw that all away. They throw that all away. As time went on, when we reached an accountable and responsible, became a responsible person, we sinned. And as a result of sin, we separated ourselves from God. Oh, how often it's been quoted, Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. It said, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, that he'll turn his face from you, that he will not hear. Not that he cannot, doesn't have the ability to, but he's just going to turn you off. He's just not going to pay any attention to you. We lost our relationship spiritually with God when we sinned. We had a great need then, a need to be redeemed. We had a great need to be bought back, to come back to our original relationship with God. And justice then demands a penalty. And as a result of God's love, he provided for mankind a way to accomplish this. Oh, how grateful, folks, we ought to be. Let's remember, God is a just God. And justice demands a penalty for our sins. And since all have sinned, those responsible, there's none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death. It requires a perfect, sinless offering to take care of the justice that God demands. And as he looked over the whole earth, there was not one person who could qualify. So he looked to his son. Had to look to his son. You know, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. That's so hard for me to grasp, to go through this life and not sin. But that's exactly what it took. You know, when you think of the seven utterances on the cross, there's two of them that I bring out that are, to me, are very important. When Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You say, well, why did he cry out that way? Because he took the sins of the whole world upon himself. And God will not tolerate sin. Would not tolerate sin, and for a moment of time he left his only begotten son. Think about that, because of sin. And then I think about Jesus saying, for the joy that was set before me, endured the cross, despising the shame. And I say to myself over and over again, how could anyone enjoy what Jesus Christ went through? The pain and the shame. But he knew, as we look at the long panoramic view, of how many people he has saved as a result of him going to the cross. And when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was simply saying, and in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed that maybe the cup could be removed, he knew good and well why he was to come to this earth and suffer and die on Calvary's cross, but I believe a part of his humanity kind of creeped out a little bit. And he was simply saying, in essence, Heavenly Father, if there's just some other way to get this accomplished, I'd appreciate it. And I'm paraphrasing that. You see what I mean? But then he said, not my will, not my will, but thine be done. And that should always be our attitude of heart and mind. Not our will, but his will. And so he did take all of our sins upon himself. And then the last one, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Just imagine what that took. All because of love. All because of love. He was willing to do that. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We are commanded to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God by the study of God's Word. In Romans 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We are to repent of our sins brought on by godly sorrow. In Luke 13:3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We are to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mind we'll go on to it. And by the way, this word unto is not the same thing as into. We have to get that straight in our minds. In confession, it's unto salvation. Not into, it's unto salvation. It's on the way toward. And then we are to be buried in water. An immersion, a burial, a planting, to come in contact with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And the blood of bulls and goats will not do it. There's no remission, you see. The blood of bulls and goats can't do that. Will not do that. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses all of our past sins of word, thought, and deed to be remembered against us no more. Against us no more. Our future sins require repentance, confession, and what else do we have to have? We have to confess and pray to God for forgiveness. Just think about that tonight, folks. You know, we say, well, I know that I've heard this for many years, and I've done this, that, and the other, and so on and so forth. But we need to be going out here and telling other people about it. They're lost. If they're not in Christ, they're lost. Not because I say so, but because the Bible says so. I'm not the final judge of anybody. You know, the word that he has spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day, John 12, verse 48. He's going to be our judge, Acts 17, verse 30 and 31. At the time, the things God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he hath appointed a day which will judge the world in righteousness. By whom? By that man whom he hath ordained and given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. His purpose for your life predates your conception. He planned it before we existed without our input. You may choose your career. You may choose your spouse, your hobbies, and many other parts of your life. But we do not get to choose our purpose. The purpose of our life fits into a much larger cosmic purpose that God has designed for eternity. I was talking to Jim Davis not too long ago. And you know, there's so many things that are coming to the fore in the technological area. It's just amazing. When I think, as long as I've lived, how little we really knew, and you know, we just are barely touching the garment of knowledge. But have you ever considered the fact that all of these things out here in space and what have you, I've never seen neutrons or protons, all these things that they're discovering now. Did you ever stop to realize that all of that's been here all the time? That's been here all the time. How come? Did God just create it? No, it's been here all the time. We're just beginning to discover it in a very small, minor way. Think how small and infinitesimal we are, how tiny we are. And yet he knows the number of hair on our head. He knows when a bird falls to the ground. Oh, think about the power of Almighty God. God is so great. He's so good. And look how many people reject him and go on their merry way. You know, the purpose of our life fits into a much larger cosmic purpose that God has designed for eternity. And if you have the need tonight, folks, to respond to God's plan of your salvation, please, I beg of you to do it now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Consider this very seriously. If you've lost your relationship with the Lord, you backslidden, or you gone by the wayside, you need to truly repent and confess and pray to him for forgiveness. One has that need tonight. Won't you come forward as we stand and sing our song of encouragement?